Yes, I'm just actually like a member of the board after the marching rep.
Join the club. Mine's like that too sometimes.
Good to see you though.
Transit, you know, and I've got funding from strategic growth council to do what's called TCC. You know, I sent that to transformative climate community, so we're trying to line up transportation, housing, greenways or access and stuff like that. And ag, the underlying economy. So it's really is what is ag going to look like in the future in the workforce required. So we're actually working with Carbon Cycle Institute, and West Hills Community College is Farm of the Future, MEGA, self-help enterprises, and then water is everything. So we have MAGS, area groundwater sustainability agency. No, it's that triple bottom line of us. Where are the states taking us?
Oh, it's a lot. It's a lot.
Right, you've seen a lot. Things evolve. Let's go, Lynn Ashbrook.
So we're going to start with Fremont County Rural Transit Agency first. So the meeting for Thursday, February 29th, 2024. 5:37 p.m. Roll call, please. To second item is consent items. Is there any item from public? Oh, sorry, I missed that. So we have a public presentation from anybody from the public? Hearing none, we can move on to the consent items. Any item from the consent calendar? Do we have any items from the consent calendar to pull from the board?
Get a little bit more substance on the item B.
Item B? How about you, Mary? I know you weren't. No? Okay. So, item B?
Thank you, Mayor. We'll go ahead and provide a brief overview to Mel Del Campo, Operations Manager for Fresno County Rural Transit Agency. Timing is perfect because we just closed the RFP process today. So, Janelle?
Sure, so we released the RFP for the energy management plan and energy management plan. So it's kind of, we're kind of putting all the work that we've done, into this plan, such as our electrical grid analysis, our microgrid study, and so this is going to focus on finding locations where we really need the charging units, what type, costs,
the other thing, Mayor, FCRTA has taken that upon themselves to do an electrical grid analysis, and we're gonna use that as a basis to help us with this EV charging plan. As you know, PG&E has not completed or done any upgrades of their system in many years, and their primary focus is twofold right now, PG&E, that they told us directly, and that is undergrounding wires and fires, and everything else is second, I'm sorry, third, fourth, and fifth, and sixth. Those two things are not at the top of their plate, everything else, excuse me, everything else is down the list. So what FCRTA is attempting to do with this, in addition to that electrical grid analysis for the county that we did, is take it upon the FCRTA so that we cover all the 13 incorporated cities and the majority of the unincorporated, so that we don't go out there and attempt to put in chargers and then all of a sudden a portion of Fresno County doesn't have power because we turned on a switch and allowed to have two chargers, or vice versa, going into Fireball or Kalinga and installing chargers and all of a sudden we overload the capacity there. So this analysis is going to give us really a formidable plan so that we know where there is ample power, or if there's not ample power, what is going to be needed in the event that we need to put in chargers. The other thing that's going to be the critical path for all of you to decide is, do you want these chargers to be publicly accessible? Should there be fees to these chargers, or should they be for government use only and public transit? These are all some of the findings and recommendations that are going to be the outcome of this study, so that we can take a look at it and basically peel back the onion in Fresno County and make some decisions so that your city, your engineers, your public works can take a look at it and say, does it fit into each respective general plan? Does it fit into the overall community plans of your specific area? And what is it gonna entail above and beyond FCRTA to encumber those expenses on each respective city? And it could be a phased development, it could be contingent on funding from the many state or federal agencies as well. So it will give us a really hands-on to make that analysis and the recommendations and findings, most importantly.
Excellent, thank you.
Is there any other question? Okay, hearing none. Is there any item for the public that wants to pull any consent item? Hearing none, do we have a motion to approve the consent calendar?
So moved.
Okay, Huron, and second by Reedley. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. Okay, now we can move on to other business.
No, I don't hear.
Okay, staff? No, nothing from staff. Any from the members? This meeting now is adjourned. We can move on to the next meeting, which is the Fresno Council of Governments, and it's 5:44. Roll call, please. Elvis?
I'm here just clarifying, is this the mitigation fee agency meeting first?
Oh,
yeah. Am I confused? I'm always confused. Yes, I'm confused. Yes, that's good. Good answer.
Mayor, this is the first item of business on the COG Policy Board agenda. Is the Policy Board sitting as the RTMFA?
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Separate agenda, so I got a little confused. See, I was confused. Thank you. I'm here. Clovis. Either way, Clovis is here. Confused or otherwise. City of Kalinga?
Present.
City of Fireball?
Here.
City of Fowler?
Here.
City of Fresno?
Here.
City of Huron?
Here.
City of Kerman? City of Kingsburg?
Here.
City of Mendota? City of Orange Coat?
Present.
City of Parvier?
Here.
City of Reedley?
Here.
City of Sangamon?
Mr. Joaquin?
Here.
City of Selma?
Here.
Fresno County? That gives us a quorum with 13 at 81.30%. So we're on the first item. So we have elections and Les, which one to go ahead and...
Yeah, let me give you a little bit of background on what you're doing here. Back in 2007, when the Measure C ballot passed, there was a stipulation that the county would adopt, or the county and the cities would adopt a regional transportation mitigation fee to supplement the regional transportation program. That's the big capital projects program that has given us 168 out to Clovis, 180 across town, the braided ramps, 41 out to Kings County, and all those major projects. But when the ballot was passed, the regional capital projects fund got cut in half, and so they stipulated that the county would adopt a regional transportation mitigation fee to take, you know, to make up the difference, or at least part of the difference. And so COG was designated as the agency to select the consultant and develop that fee program. So we met with your city managers and public awards officials for probably close to 2 years to decide what they want to do in the process. Instead of adopting 16 separate fees for each city and the county and having them remitted to the transportation authority, they decided to form a separate joint powers agency, which is this agency, the Fresno County Regional Mitigation Fee Agency, and implement one uniform fee through the whole county. And that made a lot of sense. So we did that. We formed the RTMF fee, which is basically the same fee, same board members as the COG board members. You just change your hats when you're sitting as the RTMF, but you are on a different agency, you have different responsibilities. And what we do is every 5 years, it was every 5 years, now it's every 8 years, but every 5 years we initially adopted the original nexus, stipulating which projects we were going to collect the fees for and how much the fee would be. And then every 5 years, we were required to redo that nexus and update the fee for expenses that had passed through the vote. And if we're going to add projects, we'd do that. And so the last time we met, I believe, was when we adopted the 2020 the nexus update. And as you can see, the chairman was still David Cardenas of this committee. So first thing we want to do is we want to select a chair and a vice chair. And so I'll turn it back to Alma to conduct proceedings for that.
So now we can move on to the election of a new chair and vice chair.
The election for the new chair and vice chair.
Chair, if I may.
Yes.
I would like to nominate the existing chair and vice chair of the COG Policy Board. Just keep it consistent as it was. For the Transportation Mitigation Fee Agency.
So to clarify, you're nominating Mayor Beltran as chair and Mayor Robertson as vice chair.
Yeah. This is the period in which we could do so, right? Okay, just making sure.
Okay, good. Have any other nominations? Hearing none, so can we do a roll call vote? Or do you just...
I'll second that before you
do the roll call.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Thank you, Mayor.
Okay, so then we have a first and a second, and now we need a roll call vote, please. Clovis?
Aye.
City of Coalinga?
Aye.
Fireball?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Russell City?
Yes.
Huron?
Aye.
Herman? Kingsburg?
Yes.
you guys. Thank you. Appreciate your nomination. Thank you, Hiram. And Lingo. So now we can move on to the next item. It's item number two, executive minutes. Do we have any items? I mean, anything that anyone wants to go over minutes from board? Any for the public? Hearing none, so do I have a motion to approve? Make a motion for Fresno, second. Second. For Wrigley, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. We have original transportation mitigation update. Les?
Yes. We are presenting the audited financial statements for the fiscal year ended June 30th, 2023 for the Regional Transportation Mitigation Fee Agency, which summarizes our balance sheet and our operational activities. We have $1.1 million in the bank, which basically is owed to the Transportation Authority. It's on the books as a payable, so it comes in, it goes out. We don't really own any of that money. We have $37,000 in a restricted fund balance, which is basically, when we formed this agency, we assessed a $25 handling fee on each RQF transaction that we transfer, pay for our administration and running the program. And that fee, we've accumulated $37,000 in excess of revenues over expenditures in the, how many years has it been, 2010 to 2015? The 14 years that we've been doing this, 13 and a half years that we've been doing this. So, and we have, we collected $46,000 worth of administrative revenues. That's the $25 fee, made a little bit of interest. And our expenses were $36,000. And so our net fund position increased to $11,000 last year. So the recommendation is to receive and file the financial statements for the year ended June 30th, 2023.
Do you have any questions from the board?
We have the audit, correct?
This is, yeah, the audit.
Any other board members? Hearing none. Any from the public? Do we have any questions from the public? Okay, so if we have no questions, do you have a motion to approve the Regional Transportation Mitigation Update?
I'll motion.
Second. From Fresno, second from Orange Cove.
I think that's first.
Oh, I'm sorry. Kalinga and Orange Cove. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none. Motion carries. Now we have other business. So,
there are no items from staff I'm aware of.
Any from members?
This is a word of information. We've collected $53.5 million in the 13 years we've been collecting this fee. And it's subsidizing the capital projects fund for the Transportation Authority's expenditure plan.
Okay.
How many?
Thirteen years.
13 years. We implemented the fee in 2010. And so we've been collecting it for approximately 13 years. We've collected, get that number for you, $53.5 million.
Wow. That's great. Thank you, Les. Anything from the members? Any items? Anything to report? Any public presentation from the public? Okay. Hearing none, now we can adjourn this. Okay, the city, as a Fresno County Mayor's Election Committee, includes the county. So we can move on to that item. So do we have the Measure C Citizen Oversight Committee appointment? Jake Martinez.
Thank you, Mayor Beltran. My name is Jake Martinez. I am the Citizens Oversight Committee staff lead. You guys saw me last time. I am here to ask that the committee approve both Donna Silva for the unincorporated area east of State Route 99, as well as either Ricky Dillon or David Martin for the any supervisory district. So the oversight committee consists of 13 members, 6 members at large, as well as 7 members representing the community organizations. Currently, we have 2 open spots for the community organization representatives and 3 public at-large positions. Again, 1 for the supervisory district 4, 1 for the unincorporated rural area east of State Route 99, and 1 for the any supervisory district. Again, Donna Silva will be sitting for the area unincorporated east of State Route 99, and either Ricky Dillon or David Martin will be sitting for the any supervisory district. Any questions about their application or their qualifications? I have both Donna and David here. Can you give a little wave to the committee? Hi.
And they would like to share a statement.
What kind of statement?
You know, them being excited that they're part of it, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Something positive.
Something positive? Well, my name's Donna Silva. I'm from the east side of... Donna Silva, and I'm my zip code is 93657, so I'm in the Sanger area, and Lita Laff, who is a friend of mine, was on the board for many years. He termed out, and so he asked me, he said, we should probably keep our representation going. Why don't you give it a shot and see what they think? So that's where I am, and I have a lot of catching up to do, I can tell. So if you have any other questions, let me know. I'm involved in a lot of community activities, and my background is finance. I was in banking for a number of years. So if you have any questions, let me know.
Thank you.
Thank
is that
you.
Good?
Yeah, thank you very much.
No.
And then, David, why don't you come up as well? Why don't you give yourself a campaign statement, okay?
Yes, my name is David Martin. I've lived in Fresno County pretty much all my life. I've got about 40 years of public service, 38 of it, 3 in the military, 37 or so with the Internal Revenue Service. I own 2 small businesses, and something that's totally irrelevant, I'm a master scuba diving instructor. So don't want to go deep diving right now. Okay?
The canal.
Actually, I did swim the canal. If you want to know anything about the canal where I'm from Fresno, I can tell you what they look like underneath, because I was under there as a small child.
Oh, wow.
Well,
thank you,
David.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any questions from the members?
Two people. So Donna will be representing the area east of the State Route 99, unincorporated, and you will choose either David, who just spoke, or Ricky Dillon to as the any supervisory district representative.
Ricky's not here tonight.
I think I'm actually on the call with you.
Oh, hi Ricky, good to hear from you.
Hi. Good evening everyone. Should I just say my statement as well?
Sure. Yes. Give yourself a little statement.
All right. Good evening, everyone. My name is Ricky Dillon. I am here, native Fresno resident, and I'm an educator. I'm currently serve as a superintendent for a school district for charter school. My expertise in finance. I love the work the city is doing, and just having that expertise, serving on many different boards for the education and just for the finance committee. I'm looking forward to see if I could serve on this one or get an opportunity to help the city doing amazing things and great things that you all are doing. So thank you for having me, and thank you for considering my application.
Thank you, Ricky.
Is there any other questions?
I have a quick question.
Okay.
Is there going to be a position representative for the west side of the 99?
You already have one. Her name is Emily Brandt, and she has been sitting with us since last year.
So these are just to fill those positions, correct?
Yes, to continue filling the positions, because I believe we are still missing, after this appointment, we will be missing, I believe, we'll still be missing about 3 positions, so we'll have 10 members after tonight.
So then we have a motion to,
I'll motion to approve.
Approve,
With their names given as well.
For Donna.
Alter one.
Yeah, we're gonna go with Donna, the first unincorporated area east, the area of the east side of the Route 99.
Donna Sedlin.
Yes, that one. So do you make a motion?
I make a motion.
Motion to approve?
Yes.
Do I have a second?
I'll say.
Second from Sanger.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, is to approve the appointment for Donna Summer, Summers. Sorry. Donna Silva.
She works hard for money.
So sorry. So Kalinga made a motion and then second was Sanger for Donna. It's only one, that's, so there's no other.
For the unincorporated, we're aware.
Yes.
There's one and the other choice.
So do we have a motion and we said Kalinga and Sanger, do we have? I'm already lost. I just threw me off, I'm sorry. So in favor? Motion by aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries, I'm so sorry. Now we can move on to the Fresno closet, the Clovis, and we have 2 nominees, which is Ricky Dillon and David Martin. So who would like to make?
Make a motion.
To approve.
To approve David Martin.
Okay.
This is Brian Earl, agency counsel. The policy board does have an internal policy regarding nominations and appointments. If you would like to follow that, it would be to go around the bias and simply ask which candidate.
Okay.
We spend our life going, please someone apply. We have 2 really smart, responsible humans. Donna, you've already been appointed, so you're smart, responsible, and you sing. So skip that. But is there any other vacancy that we can adjust? Because it's grateful to both Mr. Martin and Ms. Dillon for applying. So is there any way to do both?
Excellent question. I had the same one at about 3 o'clock today. Ms. Dillon, it works for a charter school, which she's still on, and she can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe she works for a charter school, which I was wondering if that would serve as a community organization. If it does, then she could represent the school as a community organization, and there are positions available for those.
Well, there's also 3 vacant public at-large positions that are listed here.
But she doesn't live in those particular areas. She has to live in
Well, the one that's being considered is the Fresno Clovis metro area, any school disorder district. Mm-hmm.
The rest of them are broken down by, right, by district, and the one that she lives in is full, that they've got a representative.
And Mr. Martin does not live in District 4.
No.
Yeah. I would support, I'm grateful that we have 2 willing, intelligent, engaged citizens who want to do it, so I'd like to find a way that a charter school is the community organization. So I would support that if that's an action we can take.
Well, my question would be, I would like to see the full list of representation, because I also don't want to concentrate too much in one area where, and then, you know, West Side is always, you know, not as represented as we would like it to be many times. So I wouldn't say that we should jump the gun, you know.
This is Brian Rome, Agency Council again. This item is agendized for the appointment to the Fresno Clovis Metropolitan Area any supervisorial district. It is not agendized for the, correct me if I'm wrong, you had suggested the community organization option. It's not agendized for that. It would be appropriate for the board to consider either of the candidates for that position, but your board can direct staff to come back at a later date to make an appointment for one of those positions. Chair, if we do that, I'd rather wait to do them both together. That's just my thought.
I think we just take care of the business we got before us, and if Ricky would like to put in an application for the community, piece, then that could go through that process.
The problem is, if we went around the table and voted, what if Ricky would win right now? Yeah, I'm saying we do it together. That way, we can see if we can both get them on together. If not, we'll have that vote and see who wins.
Do I need to retract my motion?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll retract my motion.
And so
further. I'll motion. Okay. Or second, I'll second.
Now, I hope, is it okay with you as well?
I don't have
to vote. No, I mean, if it's, back at the next meeting.
Thank you for taking the time.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Okay, so now that's taken and we have okay, now we have the transportation consent items. So we're back to Fresno Clovis meeting. And is there any consent item that any board member would like to
sign? Madam Chair, staff would like to pull
Okay.
Was that B as a boy?
Is there any other item? Any from the public?
I'll make a motion to approve the consent calendar with the exception of item B and I.
Okay, Clovis, and then second is Huron. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. Let's move on to item B.
What program is that?
Item B, it's less.
Right, but that's
second quarter workout after court.
Yeah. We're in the consent calendar.
Yes. I'm sorry.
Are you referring to the overall work program?
Yeah, I pulled the wrong one. I'm sorry. Oh, okay.
It's okay. I look.
So do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion for item B.
Okay. Clovis and second by Huron. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. Now we need to table item number I for.
Yeah, Madam Chair, we can bring this back in April. The issue here is that the SSTAC candidate listed is also a candidate for city council, were he to be elected, he would be eligible to serve. So we're asking to table this item pending the outcome of the election.
Okay. Do you have a motion to table?
Second.
All those in favor? Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. Move on to transportation action. Now this is probably the item you wanted to. Okay.
We Motion, Mary, don't worry.
Item A, item A, the Fresno County Regional Active Transportation Plan. Simran?
Good evening.
Oh, sorry.
Good evening, members of the Policy Board. My name is Simran Judy. I'll be presenting on the Regional Active Transportation Plan. Fresno COG has developed the Regional Active Transportation Plan over the last year, and this plan is significant for a multitude of reasons, but I'll just name the top three. First and foremost, it includes and serves all the communities in the region. It enhances and maintains, it enhances the development and maintenance of well-connected bikeways and pathways throughout the region, as well as increasing safety and mobility. And lastly, and potentially most familiar, is to secure funding. And on that note, CTC will be releasing the call for projects for the ATP program cycle 7 in late March, and this plan will serve to suffice that recommendation from CTC for 12 of Fresno COG's 16 member agencies. And we'll hear more on the plan from our consultant online, Rod Brown. So I have the pleasure of introducing him today. He's online to give the presentation on the plan.
Great. Thanks, Simran.
Thank you.
So I'm going to start with just, I think most people know what an active transportation plan is, to make sure we're all on the same page with that. Active transportation includes walking and biking, and you can consider this plan a roadmap to make walking and biking better within the region. It includes all the data needed for funding applications, especially, as Simran just mentioned, the active transportation program, but also other ones as well. You can also use this to help the COG determine where to use its Measure C funds. So as noted, this is an update to a previous active transportation plan that we developed several years ago. So why are we going through this again? I think the key thing is that everything continues to evolve within the region and within the state and the nation as well. And that has to do with the conditions on the ground, as well as requirements for different funding programs and such. And we're updating this plan to reflect all of that. Key things are that community conditions and needs have evolved. And another great thing is that progress has been made. Things have been built and put into place. One of the examples that you can see here is these cycle tracks in Coalinga. And we want to acknowledge all the work that's been done and take credit for that. Also, as I mentioned, the funding requirements continue to change with new requirements, and we reflect all of those in the plan. So Simran alluded to the jurisdictions that are covered, and what those are everybody, all the cities except for Fresno, Clovis, Greeley, and Selma, they all have their own active transportation plans or are generally in the process of updating their own plans. It also includes the unincorporated county, and that includes all the communities that you see here, noted the dots, those unincorporated communities. We also have a separate chapter just dedicated to the connections between the cities and all the cities and the unincorporated communities. So this is just a quick overview of how we developed this plan. There was a lot of data collection up front. We included information from local communities, including the current destinations within those communities that people might want to walk or bike to, all the disadvantaged community info, and I'll get into that in more detail here in a second. We've got lots of information on the current conditions for walking and biking, including recent safety data. We took input from city and county staffs on what they're interested in, what they're working on, and what they're working to implement. We took a lot of public input as well, and I have a whole slide dedicated to that too. Using all that data collection, we developed recommendations for walking and biking within the region. We took all those recommendations, put them together, and shared them with the public, and got feedback from the public and also from all the city and county staffs. And then we put together the draft plan that we're here talking about tonight. So, to talk about the public input, we did outreach in both Spanish and English. We did that through several methods. Our goal was to meet people where they are. Last time we had separate sort of standalone meetings in each community. Our goal this time was really to go out and engage with people who would be less likely to show up at those dedicated meetings. So we went to street fairs, farmers markets in each city, and also went to the Cherry Avenue auction to talk to folks. We hosted an online interactive map. So this is a place where if people couldn't go to those meetings or attend online meetings that we had, they could go online and make their comments marked on a map and tell us what their desires were or where they saw problems. We hosted a website in those languages that I mentioned. But we also had separate meetings with advocacy groups. So that included groups like Leadership Council, disabilities advocates, and bike groups. We took all of that feedback and took all the comments. We had a number of comments. We had 134 comments online and over 200 comments through all of those in-person events that we had. And so we took all of those and used those to help develop our recommendations. A key portion of the work that we did was disadvantaged community analysis. As you know, many most of the funding programs include disadvantaged community indicators as a key factor in prioritizing who gets the different funds. Four of these are basically unchanged. They're the same ones that the California Active Transportation Program has had for some time. But the six ones that you see on here are new federal requirements. They are being used for programs such as Safe Streets for All and other such federal funding programs. We also looked at the COG's own disadvantaged community indicator, and those are the environmental justice areas that are based on the transportation model. SAGE analysis was an important part of this. We looked at the number and severity of collisions. These were all injury collisions involving walking and biking. We looked at the locations of those as well as the share of those collisions with relation to all the collisions, including those that just involved cars. We used all that to help determine where to make improvements. So putting all those things together, we developed recommendations in several areas. A key part of this was looking to fill the sidewalk gaps within each community. So a number of places, you'll see there'll be a block or maybe part of the block that doesn't have a sidewalk. So we identified those locations where sidewalks should be built. We made quite a few pedestrian crossing improvements. These range from just improving the striping on the ground, going from sort of the standard parallel lines to high visibility crosshatch crosswalks. It also included things like the rectangular rapid flashing beacons, the white flashing lights that you see on some crossings, as well as the overhead pedestrian hybrid beacons being the most severe, or I should say the most rigorous crossing improvement that we included in the places that had the most difficult conditions. We included also networks of bikeways that included bike lanes as well as the shared use paths that not just used by bikes, but also by people who walk as well. We also included locations for bike parking. So we looked at, in particular, downtown destinations and other places where people were likely to ride their bikes, and noted where there was existing bike parking and where it would be good to add that, so people would be encouraged to ride their bikes without having to worry that their bike might be stolen. So when you put all that together, we ended up with all the miles of recommendations that you see here. So now that we have those recommendations, we went together and took the data that we had to prioritize all these in different projects. So the priorities were based on things like the proximity to destinations and the facilities that served the most people trying to get to where they want to go got high priority. Those that helped improve the conditions near where collisions occurred were also looked at where senior and youth populations were more predominant. So these are folks who are less likely to be able to use a car to get to where they want to go. We also considered public comment. If the public spoke in favor of some of the recommendations that we had, we boosted the priority of those. And of course, we took into account the judgment of local jurisdiction staff. We know that our algorithm wasn't perfect, so we wanted to make sure that we got their input so that things fell in line with what they saw as the key needs as well. So So we're getting near the end of this project. We are in the midst of the public comment period right now. Once we finish that period, we're going to take any comments, review them, incorporate changes as necessary. We are also in the midst of doing the CEQA circulation. So right now, actually, we're in the process of the tribal outreach. When that is complete, the public circulation will happen. And when all that's done, this will be going back to the TTC and the PAC, and then to the policy board again for approval. And in parallel with that, the city councils and the board of supervisors will also be able to approve the plan. So that was a very quick walkthrough, and I'm happy to take any questions that you might have.
Any board members? I do have a process question. So
sure.
From my own knowledge, I probably should know this, but I don't. So when all that approval process is done and the cities and county have accepted or whatever they've done, is this the kind of thing that is really just inserted into future Measure C kind of work as the blueprint for this work? Like, this work's all been done, so this section of Measure C can be driven in large measure by the work here? Is that the plan? Is that how this is supposed to work in a perfect world? Because the world is perfect. Is that how it's supposed to work?
Right. Exactly. That would be the ideal, is that this sets the stage for the project, presumably, that could be funded either through future APP applications and or Measure C funding.
All right.
And I will add that this will directly feed into the next cycle of the RCP SES process as well.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
And that's why the one of the appendices is the Safe House of Schools projects that are included too.
I don't feel about that.
Yeah. I mean, it's not completed, but right, we can add to that. But it's
we're really a good committee. We formed last time. We're already done with the work. You're welcome. There you go. Thank you.
It might be a moot question because it says, I know Fresno doesn't have her own plan yet, but the areas you actually met with, did you meet with any of the groups in Fresno? And if you did you meet with our active transportation plan committee that we have in the city?
We did not specifically meet with folks in the city because the city is not covered by this plan and they're developing their own plan.
Okay, thank you.
Anybody else? Any from the public? Thank you. Thank you for the invitation.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, now we can move on to item B, Fresno County Priority Climate Action Plan Approval. Samir?
Okay, so I'll be presenting on the Fresno County Priority Climate Action Plan. This is an action item, and I want to reiterate that the PCAP is the first element of the EPA's Climate Pollution Reduction Planning Grant that Fresno Fog accepted in July of 2023. The due date is tomorrow for the first element, and this board approved the contract with LSA in October, leaving roughly 4 to 5 months to complete this plan, so it was extremely expedited. But I'm joined here today by Christine Kai, Deputy of Mobility at LSA, and we'll be sharing an overview of the PCAP development. So Christine, if you'll go to the next slide, please. Thank you. So this timeline showcases the milestones throughout the Priority Climate Action Plan development. We began in October by gathering a stakeholder steering committee. And as a result of our January stakeholder steering committee, the project team finalized the 12 measures for the PCAP. After this month's acceptance, we'll be able to submit this plan along with the board resolution by the deadline, which is tomorrow. Next slide, please. So the deliverables of the PCAP included an inventory of GHG inventory, a measure of GHG reduction, and the preliminary benefit analysis for low-income and disadvantaged communities anticipated to result from implementing those measures. Next slide, please. And so the initial deliverable, as mentioned, is the GHG emissions inventory. And for the Fresno region, it was gathered that nearly half of the emissions were from transportation, which is quite nationally applicable. However, the second highest emitting sector is agriculture, which is unique to the region, and it's highly representative of Fresno County. And so later in the presentation, Christine will introduce how we prioritized and selected measures as a result of the outreach process, but this pie chart is a helpful visual to help understand where the GHG emissions in the Fresno region, which sectors they are coming from.
Is this Fresno County or is this Cabal?
Fresno County.
That graph was which, Fresno County?
Yes. Next slide, please. And so as a regional planning agency, our PCAP warranted stakeholders from all of our member agencies. We also included other stakeholders such as the disadvantaged communities rep, the air district, transit agency, and industry experts. And the primary role of the stakeholder steering committee was to provide input and approve recommendations. In addition to the input from the stakeholders, the public input also guided the PCAP development. And I also want to mention that we'll be keeping the stakeholder steering committee intact for the next element of the planning process, which would be the CCAP, the comprehensive climate action plan. Next slide, please. So Fresno COG led and developed the public outreach, and we developed a public engagement hub, which is this screenshot here, and it shows all of the tabs and options for the public to stay engaged with meetings and updates in the timeline, and the opportunity to complete surveys, which were solicited through social media and at in-person events. Next slide, please. So as mentioned, public outreach was solicited through surveys, and we held a total of 3 in-person meetings with community partners. We also hosted 2 virtual events, and all meetings had the option of both Spanish and English translation. And we also held additional stakeholder meetings with groups that were interested in the PCAP development as they requested. Next slide, please. So the surveys were a means to feedback on what measures or strategies for GHG reduction the public found were most favorable. So here are the results, and the circles show the general location of where respondents were from. Next slide, please. And so this map is the federal climate and economic justice screening tool that we used to overlay with where respondents were from and where the disadvantaged communities in the Fresno County live. So we were pleased to have received so much feedback from both our disadvantaged communities and our urbanized regions in the county. And I will pass it along to Christine.
Thank you, Simran, and good evening, Policy Board members. It's great to see you again. As Simran mentioned, the project team took a multi-pronged approach to identify and select the priority measures for the PCAP. According to the guidance of the EPA, the priority measures that are included in the PCAP needs to be near-term implementation ready with considerable GHG reduction and also cost feasible. So the project team first looked at the GHG inventory that Simran just showed you and took the top three sectors with the highest GHG emission. These sectors are transportation, agriculture, and building energy. The Fresno COG staff also met with community interest group with interest to apply for EPA's $4.6 billion of the second phase implementation grant. And the project team decided to accommodate those project interests and included a fourth sector, the waste sector, into the midst of the sectors that will include priority measures. So with the 4 sectors decided that to be included in the PCAP, the project team went ahead and developed draft measures for the 4 sectors, including 23 draft measures. The 23 draft measures after that was developed, then the project team created surveys that were sent out to stakeholders and also the public. Fresno COG staff and the consulting team also met with several sector representatives to really to solicit input on the measures that were drafted. So the survey was sent out, first was sent out to the stakeholder group that Ms. Zimmer mentioned. The stakeholder group consisted of representatives from the local government, from the fair district, the transit agencies, as well as from the disadvantaged communities. This group, we consider this group experts. So we asked this group to rank all the 23 measures across the four sectors. And the graph on the left represent the results of that the survey from the for the stakeholder group. The survey was also sent to the public through a first call, a public outreach process, and the public was asked to rank the 23 measures actually within each of the sectors. We did not want to overwhelm the public with 23 measures, asking them to rank them across the 23 measures. So the graph on the right represents the results from the public. Based on the results from these two surveys, the project team selected 13 measures for the four sectors to be included in the priority, the PCAP. There are 5 measures for transportation, 3 measures for the ag sector, 3 measures for the building energy sector, and 2 measures for the waste sector. For the transportation sector, the measures cover the areas of the public EV charger, the municipal fleet, bike and pet, the public transportation, as well as the carpool and vanpool facilities. For the agriculture sector, the measures covers the program and incentives to reduce GHG with manure management from livestock and poultry operations. It also covers incentives to reduce GHG related to ag burning, also associated with the operation of ag equipment. For the building energy sector, the measures cover the included incentive programs for energy efficient appliances, also incorporate water efficiency measures, and also on-site renewable energy generation. During the public review process, we heard from a couple of stakeholders indicating that they're interested in submitting project application to EPA in the area of fuel cells, battery storage, biomass combustion. So we revised the third measure for the building energy sector and included those wording in the red. And for the waste sector, the measures include programs and incentives to reduce or divert waste, as well as for the wastewater treatment facilities. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Simran to wrap up the presentation.
Thank you, Christine. So Brunswick Cog staff is pleased to have this plan expedited and completed in time for the deadline tomorrow. This plan will allow public agencies in the Fresno region to better compete for EPA implementation grants since an applicant's geographic area is required to be captured. Although the state will have their own PCAP, this allows public agencies in Fresno to have a better or greater probability of securing funds with this Fresno PCAP. So I'm open to answer any questions at this time.
Well, I have two questions. This does include the whole county and all the cities?
Yeah.
Correct. Two questions. Food waste or waste, sorry, the waste element, residential waste or commercial waste or hospital waste or all waste streams?
Yeah, any and all waste. It's written in a way that it could be applied to, be utilized for any of those. Programs and incentives to reduce or divert waste. And we have examples written into the measure, but we wrote it in a way that it could be applicable to however.
Okay. And my other question was, the transportation indicators talk about electric vehicles and whatnot. We talk about municipal fleets, but I wonder if there's ever, at some point, we could consider commercial ventures that have large fleets. I think about hospitals have lots of vehicles on the road. So if there's any way to incentivize those sorts of not-for-profit or other ventures, any kind of venture that has lots of cars, they're not all municipal, might be a way to speed up some of the adoption of the measures. I don't have a whole document to print out because it's like 40,000 pages. But it might be, we typically don't engage in that kind of fleet work, but it could help smaller communities in large, right, with changing out their fleet, because that will slow down the process in that sector. Just a comment for future iterations. Thanks.
Thank you. Christina, I don't know if you want to add to the comment about the municipal fleet versus not-for-profit fleets, but the private sector.
Mm-hmm. That's a great comment. I think that could be included in the CCAP when First McCaulk starts the work. I believe in June and July.
I would imagine that among all hospitals in Fresno County, they probably have as many cars as most, certainly large city fleets, even other size. So just there's probably other examples as well. So thank you.
And certainly, if I may, Madam Chair, to address that point that the infrastructure installation could be a beginning point for that to set the stage for fleet conversion. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Outreach was all led by President Claus, but the development of the plan was all consultant led, and the presentation materials as well.
And that was a decision that the board approved, owing to the very condensed timeline that we were under.
And the highly technical work of quantifying greenhouse gases of sectors outside of just transportation. We don't have expertise in waste or ag.
Quick question. The green waste program that's going on right now, how does that play into this PCAP in terms of all the digesters that are being developed now to digest this green waste and use it as energy? Can wastewater treatment facility, can they apply for funding and use this as support for that?
And we actually do have a lead applicant on a waste application here with us today, and I don't know if Mr. Hayes from Tranquility Resource Conservation District would want to provide some comments, but we do have interest from those agencies, and they're able to apply as long as they're a public government agency.
It seems like that's the direction that it's going in.
Yeah. Yes.
Hello?
There's experimental things going on with UC Davis trying to figure out how to make liquid organic fertilizer out of food waste. And if they're able to nail that and showing that it's more effective with the growing of crops than conventional fertilizer, then that's a way that it would be, what do you call it, just used, you know.
Right. Any other questions?
Thank you.
Hearing none. Any from the public? Can we have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second. Okay, Salma and then Huron, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. Now we move on to work program.
Sorry to interrupt, but we're going to have public comment on the item.
Then you want to go ahead.
Good evening. I'm Steve Hayes, Executive Director for Tranquility Resource Conservation District, and we're on the west side of Fresno County. So, Mayor, your question about an applicant for essentially the waste and wastewater aspect. 19% of the emissions that have been quantified comes from agriculture. Obviously, agriculture is very important to the county. It's a way of life, and it's the underlying economy. So essentially, we're participating as an applicant working with the San Joaquin Valley APCD and looking at incentive-based approach. And we are on a timeline of April 1st to submit a full proposal. And the intent is to look at within the dairy sector, greenhouse emissions capture, methane production, and utilization for electricity, the fuel cells that were identified, things of that nature. I'm sharing this with you because I think it's really important, and it was mentioned, is there's a lot of innovation out there. This opportunity under the PCAP is tremendous. It means that if we look at the agricultural economy of today and what it can be in the future, it's just a lot of great opportunity in that respect. So I just want to commend you since you voted in favor, and thank you, and also let you know that we are there. We're happy to work with COG and others with respect to that, and thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. We can move on to the next item, and that's item C, overall work program and budget.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. So tonight we are presenting our overall work program budget, which totals $45 million for public review. We're asking you to release it for public review. You have a memorandum attached to this annotated report. The budget reflects $12.6 million decrease from prior year, the largest part of which is owing to the one-time anticipated funding from the Regional Early Action Plan, or REAP 2.0 funds that we are anticipating this fiscal year from the Housing and Community Development Department. So that will not be repeated next year. Another $3.7 million decrease is a drawdown of cash match for the Fresno County Road Transit Agency as it's constructing this homeless facility. So federal revenues is short, decreased a net 7%, almost $1 billion. The largest increase, $1.7 million reduction from another round of plus procurements through the FDA 10 program, which offsets several decreases from other revenue sources that were drawn down from one project. So on the whole, state revenues decreased 34%, almost $10 million. Again, from 3.0, local revenues decreasing 25%, 3.8% from the FCRTA drawdown. We are adding an accounting position this year, which is going to be jointly shared with FCRTA at a 70-30 basis. And we do have contingencies that are being carried over for merit-based salary increases, as well as for anticipated health insurance increases. So the overall proposed budget for salaries increased by 2%, benefits by 1%. Consulting budget is $22.1 million for next year, which decreased $5.7 million. So again, tonight we're simply asking you to release this for public review. We anticipate comments, basically 30-day circulation comments due by April 1st, and then this budget and overall work program will be brought back to you in April for approval.
Any from the public? Okay. Hearing none, so do we have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Huron, second. Orange Cove, all those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries. Now we can do the Regional Vehicle Miles Traveled Mitigation Program. Paul?
Thank you, Chair. Good evening, Board. My name is Paul Herman. I'm a Principal Regional Planner here at Fresno COG. SB 743, which was approved by the California legislature in 2013, required that level of service using, which was used to measure transportation impacts under CEQA, be replaced with vehicle miles traveled, or VMT. COG developed its own SB 743 guidance in 2020, which provided tools for local governments to implement this legislation. However, due to a lack of clear guidance on how the projects can successfully mitigate its VMT impacts under CEQA, VMT mitigation remains an outstanding issue within SB 743 implementation. It is believed that a regional level VMT mitigation program will be most effective in providing pathways for VMT reduction and CEQA mitigation. In 2023, COG finalized a regional VMT mitigation program feasibility study. The study explored various options, such as a VMT mitigation bank, an exchange, or impact fees, and identified pros and cons of each of these different structures. The study concluded that a VMT mitigation program is a feasible option for Fresno County, and recommended that a VMT mitigation bank would be the most appropriate initial program framework. Implementing a VMT mitigation program adds a new fee that may further increase the cost of housing and other development, as well as an increase to any cost increases to any capacity increasing projects. However, in the absence of more VMT mitigation solutions, significant uncertainty will remain for projects, continuing to impede their ability to progress and to be constructed. This regional program would be adopted by individual jurisdictions at their discretion and does not exclude any jurisdiction from doing their own local VMT mitigation program. After the policy board accepted the findings of the feasibility study in October, the board requested that further planning regarding a regional VMT mitigation program be brought back for discussion at this month's policy board meeting to discuss next steps of this program. As a follow-up to the feasibility study, staff is recommending a regional VMT mitigation program implementation plan, which would outline how best to establish this program for the county. As part of the implementation plan, a policy and jurisdictional framework would be developed to further define how this program would function at a regional level. VMT estimation and evaluation modeling tools would also be developed as part of this plan, and would develop an initial project listing of VMT reducing projects within Fresno County. This initial VMT project listing would be developed from existing regional transportation RTP projects. This implementation plan is in Fresno COG's fiscal year 24-25 overall work program, and would be funded with Caltrans SB1 Sustainable Communities Formula Funds. The overall efforts of this program are consistent with the COG's 2022 RTP SES goals for VMT and greenhouse gas reductions. This item is brought before you today to engage in a discussion amongst the policy board about regional VMT mitigation. This effort would not begin until after July 1, 2024, in the next fiscal year, and I'm available for any questions on this matter.
The board?
I just had a question on, I noticed in the notes that I read that there are projects being held up because they can't decide how to deal with the vehicle miles travel issue from the SB 743. So do you know what projects are being held up in the county because of that?
I don't have the specifics. We've been there's been several developments, housing developments, that have run into mitigation issues under CEQA, but I don't have a specific project list for you tonight, sorry.
So if I'm, oh, I'm sorry. Well, I was going to say, if I may, Madam Chair, just to illuminate a little further for those who may not be as aware of this particular issue, was actually enacted, SB 743 enacted, I believe it was 2013, 2014, somewhere there. So 7 year lead-in to implementation that began in 2020-21 timeframe, that basically adds another layer to CEQA in terms of environmental analysis, right? So requires that developments that could potentially increase VMT, you're putting in a new Costco, for example, okay, now that becomes an attractor
there's under CEQA, there's vulnerability there for the potential for a lawsuit if that issue is not addressed. And that's what we're attempting to deal with here, is on either on an individual basis, city by city, or on a regional basis, which is what we're proposing to study. We need to deal with this, because otherwise the ramification is that it leads to the potential vulnerability for future developments that are going to increase BMT by virtue of their presence, right? I mean, you know, it's practically impossible to eliminate all BMT. And so in order to manage the thresholds, we have to create some mitigation mechanism. And we can either do that, again, city by city, or we can do it as a region. And so what we're proposing is to fund a study that would look at the prior phase that Paul mentioned of the study, arrived that a mitigation bank would probably be the best fit in terms of the mechanism for how we would go about doing that. Now, the next step, the next phase of the study would be, how would such a bank work? How would it work on a regional basis? How could it work on an individual basis? And then you decide as to whether you want to go further than that. So we're not proposing to enact anything at this time. This is simply phase two of a study, and then we'll see where you are after that.
Okay, so I have a couple questions. Number one, when we do the study to determine what the BMT impact is for, let's say, the health clinic we're building, do they factor in that more people are driving electric vehicles?
Yeah, so that is a component of understanding BMT impacts. Though the part of the BMT calculation does look at a threshold, right? There are thresholds that the state provides, but essentially looking at what would the impact be beyond those thresholds of a specific development, that's what under CEQA requires the mitigation.
I just want to be clear though, for example, one in four cars in California is now an electric vehicle. I have one. So, and you can think we've been opting at one tax, sorry.
But my, you can leave money at the table.
We're coming for you next.
My question though is, given that as that number goes up, will the requirement for BMT then go down?
No, because the vehicle miles traveled is still there.
But they're saying greenhouse gases are the problem.
It's not just greenhouse gases. Okay. That's one factor. But again, this is not GHG mitigation specifically. It's an element of it. But it's the title is BMT, vehicle miles traveled.
And I get that.
It's a reduction of actual car trips.
And as we move forward, this is the first step. It would be really helpful to know how much more it's going to cost to build a single family home in Fresno or a commercial development.
Yeah.
Because I can tell you, I had unfortunately some experience with this. One terrible case in the community of Pinedale. There is a local regional clinic. They've been trying so hard to build a health clinic, where it's not just a clinic, but you have optometry and x-ray and all that in pharmacy right there on site. And it's going to serve the immediate neighborhood in Pinedale. Yet the VMT is what set it, the assessment set it in the red, and forgive me, it's been a while since I looked at it, which means it's a major impact on VMT when it's not realistic. And there's no mechanism in the current requirements where we can say, well, it's for a health clinic, it's a special use, let's exempt it. SB 743 has been a disaster. And if it hasn't hit your communities yet, it's the worst thing at the wrong time, that is going to drastically raise the price of housing. What can we do to legally push back? Because I don't want to take it, I also put it eloquently. This is an unfunded mandate from Sacramento. I want to fight back. What options do we have?
Yeah, I don't have the answer for you on specifically how we can fight back against changing CEQA, right? That's a whole other can of worms, I think, that we would need to fight in Sacramento, maybe as a unified block, but that's a whole other.
So my question is associated in terms of BMT. So there's no distinction if there's more than one individual in the vehicle, it's just BMT fed up. So what relationship does that have with HOV lanes? I'm thinking HOV lanes, there's got to be at least two folks in that car. Because when we look at the transportation, we're thinking, so at least when we put in the grant, we talk about, all right, we could use this vehicle that carries five people, and it's electric, and it's taking down X amount of GHGs, because that's the amount of people that are, you know, concentrated just in one vehicle. But if it's a seven-person vehicle, then that's more, and it's a bigger bang for the buck, and it's positive. So there's nothing in VMT that wavers in some way, shape, or form that changes it. It's just VMT and period. And there's nothing to do with the HOV lanes that are you know, could be associated some way, somehow. In terms of a policy fix of a sort. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there because I know we don't have HOV lanes, just on ramps.
To your question, Mayor Leone, it is my understanding, and I said to Barati has joined here in our modeling, but from a modeling standpoint, there would be credit for that because there would be an assumption that instead of seven car trips, right, you only have one. So there is VMT reduction, but Santos, do you want to?
Yeah, so as Mayor Ray mentioned, we do not have the HOV in our region, we are now updating our utilization model, and we are implementing or integrating that the TMC and the HOV or other kind of management aspect. So going in the future, if we happen to have the HOV lanes in our system, that's that work as Rob mentioned, that will automatically, the model will automatically access the VMT. So instead of like, you know, five cars or, you know, two cars from
but it'd be interesting. But again, to clarify the difference between EV versus combustible engine does not have a major difference in the VMT calculation because it's about vehicle. You know, it's about.
But it doesn't engine. Passengers.
Right. It goes by passenger. Right. It's more passenger based. Right.
So let me just throw this one in there. So we have a fleet of 16 cars, all electric vehicles. We do 40,000 miles per month. That's a lot of GHGs not being touched, and it's one, two, three, you know, people in the vehicle. And how would that work into the model?
So when we do the
RTP
SCS, like every 4 years, and for the SCS, so for example, our recent round of the SCS had like 13% GHG reduction, and that we would have like either model or off model calculation for those kind of things. So now, in that particular example, we are calculating that GHG credit as the off model strategy because our model is not able to handle that kind of restriction scenario. So what we do is we calculate offhand beside the model that, you know, how many electric vehicle thing is there and how much BMP it's reducing every day, and then we but here it's a little different topic as well. We are not just testing the GHG, we are just focusing on the GHG. And to match, as we are talking about around the same thing, I heard about that pandemic project a couple of years ago, or last year. And it's unfortunate that those projects are not, are not moving forward as well as the projects. That is simply the state policy regulation we have to follow. And we recently received the feedback survey from the Office of Planning and Research, who developed this SC-743 and the technical advisory, and they are asking us, like, you know, are there anything you want us to revise in the guidelines, you want us to, modify in the guidelines, and we can definitely improve that.
So I have a question. So what are other counties in the state doing, and is there any getting together as groups and petitioning the state or petitioning our
That there is a mechanism through which that occurs, which is the CalCOG, California Association of Councils of Government. The issue there is that you have counties, especially some of the larger counties that have more congestion, right? Because that's really what BMP is addressing, right? Is congestion, right? In addition, so you have the GHG issue and you have the congestion issue. And some of the larger counties, the more heavily populated, are in favor of this. And so there's a division. There's a division, you know, from a policy standpoint within the state as to, you know, what tweaks or approach should be taken. But to the point of the Pine Deal, I was going to say, if I'm not mistaken, this is not my area of expertise, but as I understand it, for example, one of the things that might mitigate for the health center, right, because there is no special category, as we point out, if they were to eliminate parking, right? If they were to not have any parking spots, right? Zero parking spots, then there would be credit. I don't know that it would offset entirely, but there would be credit given to that development, VMP credit.
And I don't want to run around in circles. This is clearly an attempt from Sacramento to force us to not go with what consumers want and force. I just read an article today in the Fresno County Ag newspaper talking about the history of like Huntington Boulevard had the old trains. And what killed that system was people wanted their own cars. They wanted to be able to make their own choice. And we're a rural community. I'm not going to, I would love to go to Fowler and see Wilma, but I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to drive there. And it just, it's, sorry, a couple questions, that's okay.
Sure.
We talk about asking stakeholders. We do it all the time with like leadership council and those groups, and that's fine. Are you meeting with stakeholders in the building industry that actually have to build these properties to see whether fee-based VMP mitigation program is the best option? Because when I go to them and say, please build more housing in Fresno, I don't want the excuse, sorry, it's more too expensive, I'm gonna go to Madera.
Yeah, so a part of the last study and what will be incorporated in the next study will be an understanding of an appropriate fee if that were to move forward, right? There would need to be some analysis on what's the appropriate level of VMT costs in Fresno County. Other jurisdictions handle this differently. Each jurisdiction kind of sets their own threshold or cost per VMT. So that's one discussion. And I will say, in this next round of the study, there will be a stakeholder group that guides this effort. And we would, we have the home building groups on our TTC and PAC as well.
Awesome.
That are involved. We've heard comment, as you're alluding to here, about the displeasure about this program. We do hear that, we do understand that. So we're competing against, you know, there's that aspect of it, and then there's the mitigation and CEQA lawsuit component of this. And so we do hear that feedback, and we will have them included in the state.
Where does the money go? Let's say this project pays the fee. I mean, it's gonna get passed on to the consumer or the buyer, but where does the money go?
So it goes into, essentially, it would go into a bank or some kind of program that then would fund projects that can be considered VMT reducing. So that would be the mitigation component or nexus, right? So there would be a listing of projects. Typically what you see are transit, active transportation, sometimes affordable housing. There's a various kind of grouping of projects that do qualify as VMT reducing.
Are affordable housing projects exempt from VMT requirements?
They can be, depending on if they're built in infill development or transit-oriented development. Yeah, it depends on.
And the densities.
Yeah. There's qualifications to that. It just depends on if they're infill or in high density zoning.
So there theoretically could be some affordable housing projects that still have to pay VMT.
Or that could get funded, right? Or could actually
receive
money.
It could get funded, but it's just kind of okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm looking at worst case scenario because we're in a housing crisis in California, but we're doing this. What are we being asked to do today then? Because
I really
don't want to endorse.
This is an informational item to have the discussion that we're having. Because this is gonna be kind of a program that we look at for next fiscal year. When we did the initial study last October, we received guidance from the policy board to bring this back in the springtime before we move forward with the next phase of the study, and that's essentially what this discussion.
Sorry, BMT is a trigger word for me. So for sure.
Understood.
Instead of throwing a rock, I'm throw the BMT.
So
HOV lanes, back to that. I think the areas that have a larger population and more concentrated LA, the Bay, they'll have HOV lanes. We don't. This morning I drove in to go to a meeting at one of the coffee shops, and they chose one way up north. And I hit some traffic, and it was terrible. Everybody is like one person per car, even at the furthest left lane, one person per car. You know, the only solace I had when I used to take my mom to Mexicali was that, as me and my mom, we get on the fast lane with, because the HOV lane, right? And we jam. We don't have that here. You know, maybe that's something that we should consider, talk about, fund. Sounds like those monies are for that, so that we can encourage more carpooling. You know, I think we got to really encourage a culture that's going to be able to bring down the VMTs and get us some credits or whatever it is that the benefits are, apart from more pollution, right? And while we are waiting for more people to come on board with electric vehicles, and obviously the vehicles are way more efficient today, but I just want to share those thoughts.
Actually, I would like to bring in Mr. Navarro on this, because you bring up a very good point, and it turns out that Caltrans is actually studying managed lanes right now on State Route 99.
And HOV is high occupancy vehicle.
Right, but yeah, we're not quite there with 99 yet, but I'll let him
explain. Sorry, all the BMT discussion triggers for me too, because
on the project front you deal with it, it's on the capacity enhancing projects for us, so
okay.
Some of the features you're talking about earlier were like being considered BMT mitigation measures. I just want to clarify, when you say HOV lanes, one way to get a BMT reduction would be not to add an HOV lane. You theoretically need to repurpose an existing lane, like a general purpose lane on 41.
Right, that's
you take the inside lane, you retract the HOV, then there could be some BMT reducing measure there, because if you're adding an HOV lane, you're really just adding.
It's a little diving on the lane that's there, that's what I'm saying.
And you may not remember, but 41 was open with an HOV lane back in the 80s, and it was not a use lane. We did take a stab at it. I think it was in high school. Anyway.
That was the 80s, bro.
But yeah, no, but agreed. So to this point, for 99, you know, you're trying to close some of the gaps on there. And the way you've been able to move forward, even with SB 7.3 in place, is we give BMT mitigation strategies for managed lanes. So we're looking at things like converting existing lanes to truck lanes while we close the gap. So the conversion process is where you get your BMT reduction. So trying to manage the existing lanes there without adding capacity. And so 99 makes sense, because it's like 27% trucks in various segments. 41 is a different kind of route, it's more of a commuter corridor, as you explained, so certainly looking at opportunities for HOV. Some of the larger areas are actually not considering two people HOV anymore, they want three or more on some of these situations. You talk about carpooling, just to give you an example for BMT mitigation. We're doing an interchange project in Chowchilla, and it showed an increase of about 300 miles of BMT per day. We had to mitigate for. So what we're doing is we're funding van pools to the prison, because like you said, you do the math, you put six people in there, save 30 miles for you, whatever it is, each way, you mitigate that BMT offset. Otherwise you're throwing in a situation where you're doing GIRs for little projects and doing an override consideration, which is cost related.
Thank you, Michael.
Madam Chair, just two quick questions. Just back to Mike's point, the study or the next step is not to fund more study, but to fund how are we going to implement the recommendations of staff, yeah?
Yes.
Okay, I don't want to study anything else. And then I guess it's going to be up to Caltrans, because the irony is, if Madera County doesn't, I mean, everybody has to adopt, it's California, I get that. But living in Riverstone, driving to Fresno doesn't really help Fresno. I mean, our BMT is still our BMT, but all that mileage, the cross-county traffic, so I feel like it's actually a regional challenge. It's not really, it's a local challenge, but it's made worse by the regional. So I don't know what considerations there are for a President Madera's Larry Keynes, because that's the commute path, whatever that is. But to do it just for one county, and you let the other counties, that seems like we're chasing windmills, or whatever that expression is. But anyway, any regional.
That's all over the valley.
Well, but I mean, it doesn't make any sense. We just keep doing one count at a time, and we're not really making any headway at all. So I don't know what that even means. I'm just whining.
Okay. I think it's a good point that you bring up.
No,
it is a good point that you bring up, because I do feel like this, it becomes a jurisdictional issue, right? Where it's, you know, and what's the mechanism for Tulare, Kings, Fresno, and Madera to come together and put together some kind of body? You know, it's like the cogs of all four of those counties is going to
do it.
Maybe come together and look at something like that.
At least have a conversation. I mean, again, we try to solve these complicated regional issues one city at a time or one county at a time, and it is chasing one else. So anyway, if there's opportunities, with it, as long as this is a plan to talk about how to implement it, that's time to do
that. And that can certainly be part of the study. Absolutely. That the idea that it could be a broader effort, that I think that that's, we, you know, we haven't even scoped it out yet, so that's certainly
something we can add.
Yeah. And to clarify for those who may not be aware, you have two major developments on Madera County side, Riverstone and Tesoro, that were both approved and began development prior to SB 43 taking effect, so they are exempt. And so, you know, you have tens of thousands of residents in multiple thousands homes who would be presumably traveling into Fresno on a daily basis in Fresno County to work and shop and so forth. Although those are, to be fair, those are intended as master plan communities, so they do in theory have their own, you know, facilities. But you know, obviously there would still be considerable traffic. Yes, yes.
Yeah, in theory that might be, but most of those people work in the county of Fresno, I'm betting.
Right.
So we're the ones that bear the congestion, the traffic, all of that.
Very true.
Not all, but majority of them.
So Paul, is there a mechanism to where, let's say if they add more tracks to Riverstone or to Cerro Viejo, thank you, where we will get some money because they are shopping in our community, they're working in our community, or is it, it can't cross the county lines?
Yeah, so the development, the fee that would go into the bank would have to be within the county of Fresno for this specific plan. Now, the broader idea of going across and talking with Madera County and other surrounding counties, that could then lead to a plan where we bring in more, you know, jurisdictions, but this specific Fresno County, we couldn't impose a fee on development in Madera County, no, unfortunately. That's a good one. We could try, yeah.
Yeah, but I think that can be done, because when we look at the guidelines for the SEC report coming back in 2020, we consider the reason as a personal account. But as Mayor suggested, that's a great point. As a technical lead, when I do the DMP analysis, I often think about it, because we are being very selfish here. We are just like thinking about the, like, you know, one area, whatever happens beyond that, we don't care. You know? And then the money that comes into there. So, like, if this is a statewide policy, then I think it should be hot, like, you know, in a coordinated effort, and that's very
good. And we do have, you know, we've been working on our model. We do have the statistics of how many folks come in from outside the county, right? We do have an understanding of that. And so that would be something that we should maybe put together and then start reaching out to the other cogs.
And I don't mean to be ungrateful, because we're happy they come, we're happy they shop, we're happy they work. So I'm not, but there's just got to be some larger view of a problem. Otherwise, we're solving for nothing.
I need to bring up the L word, but any lawsuits yet about discriminatory VMT pricing? You know, so one county looks better than another, and that's more attractive for developers. Any legal challenges yet?
We haven't seen that specific challenge on different VMT pricing in regional jurisdictions or across jurisdictions. So no, we haven't seen any. It's very,
each county's developing its own.
Yeah, and there's actually also a lot of individual cities that are doing their own VMT mitigation programs as well, mostly in the Bay Area, Northern California, some on the coast, but it's still very young, so it hasn't developed. The judicial side of this hasn't quite formulated yet, but we're expecting that will occur.
Okay, so,
okay.
Any comments from the public? Hearing none, and that was informational, so we can move on to the next item, and that is
PRD, members of the board. Last month I mentioned the closure of Bay Rock 41 in Kings County, for those of you headed to the Central Coast. I just wanted to assure you that road is still closed. It'll be in the Stratford area. They're currently demolishing a bridge. And because we have the bridge closed, that segment closed, we're actually doing a major rehab project south of there between Quail and Nevada, which is that segment that occurs before you get to the city. So it'll be closed about 5 to 6 months, and right now the detour is signed to take 198 I-5 while they continue to do that work. Selmer to Fowler rehab project on State Route 99. Work continues on there. So the ramps are still currently closed. The State Route 43 on-ramp to southbound State Route 99, southbound off-ramp to 2nd Street. And these ramps will be closed until the end of March. Around late March, weather permitting, will be closing the off-ramp to State Route 43 in Floral when we take the hammer in the city of Selma. And we open up construction complete on this project in May. And Mayor, as we discussed, our Caltrans staff will reach your city council on Monday to give you a more thorough update of this project. The State Route 41 Excelsior Expressway project. So we submit our 95% design plans. Currently reviewing, commenting those. The design is, should be complete by June of this year. And then we'll be awarding that project by the end of this calendar year and then starting spring construction. So that's a segment out by 41 Excelsior. We'll be adding the additional two lanes. In Kalinga, we have a rehab project on State Route 33. So the project's still in the design phase. We'll be restriping that roadway to put in bike lanes, on-street parking, pedestrian refuges. We're putting in 8 rectangular rapid flashing beacons for complete streets. That project should be designed by this summer, awarded the contract in the fall, and we'll have spring construction for that project as well. The roundabout in Mendota, State Route 33 and 180, we should have that project rated this for the spring, so we'll go out for bidding this summer. And they're currently working property owners on certifying the right of way for the initial pieces that we need. On State Route 180 in Dickinson, we're in the design phase of that project, put a roundabout there. That project should be fully designed by spring, and then we'll go into construction this fall. We're expecting about 6 months to complete that project. And then lastly, probably seen some of the work in the City of Fresno Midtown Trail that goes along Shields Avenue. So we're doing oversight on that project. We're reviewing design plans currently from our Thomas consultant, and they're going to start working on extending that work. You see it on the long Shields Avenue in front of Manchester Mall, so they're going to be punching that through underneath the State Route 41 Shields interchange, and then connecting to the trail at Fresno Street. And that project will be targeting November for construction of that. With that, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Michael. Now we move on to consent. Any comments? I'm sorry. Any from the public? Okay. Thank you. We can move on to administrative consent items. Is there any item from the consent that you'd like to move on?
I'd like to pull A.
A. Anybody else? Any other? Any from the public? Okay, so can I have a motion to approve item B and C?
So
moved. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. Okay. A, item A.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, I just do have it.
I just have a quick question. So I see you're going to be raising the rate that we charge
So that's a good question, Mayor. And the purpose of raising or adjusting the hourly rate was actually to be more competitive in the market and to be comparable with the preferred consultants, so that cost doesn't become the reason for the developers and the consultants to divert the projects towards us. Because the purpose of solely establishing the preferred consultant list was actually to encourage the developers and the consultants to actually go to the preferred consultants whenever we are not available, and we can dedicate hours to this kind of a process. But since the cost was something that we had to purchase, Now, with that adjustment, we actually expect the developers and the consultants to go more towards the preferred consultants, and we will be there as a backup. Anything happens, like in terms of the complexity of the project or anything, then we will be there to do those selected project analysis.
So what we were finding is that our prices were so low, our rate was so low, that developers and the consultants were willing to wait until our staff was available. And even though we brought in this big bench of consultants to assist with the work, the problem was their rates were higher. And so nobody was using them at all. And so what we're proposing is to basically put ourselves in kind of a midpoint, right in the middle, which makes us very competitive. And so it really doesn't matter who they choose. We can do the work, but there still may be a wait depending on what else our team has going, especially as we enter the RTP season.
Thank you. Any other questions? Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I got a quick question. I was sent, when I requested this to be tabled, I was requested an email with all the definition of everything for the sound here. The quote that was in here is $68,973.83, and we're approving $54,384.12. It's a $14,589 difference. Do you know what that difference is? Because it doesn't say anything in it.
There was, thank you. There was a mid-range. You should have received three different quotes, and there was a mid-range quote that was included. So basically, there was kind of a mid, a high, and a middle, and a low range. This was the middle range quote.
Okay, so that's why it's the mid one then. Okay.
Correct.
Just for the heck of it, what's the difference? I mean, it's $13,000, and if our sound system is not any better for 54, you might as well spend 68 or whatever that number is. What's the difference in mid time?
The higher end one, I don't have it in front of me. I'm sorry, I can get that to you. But the higher end was more on the visual side, so it included like a larger screen than we have for our control panel, a larger digital screen. More. The reason we went with the mid was because the issues have not been so much with the visual as it has been with the sound. So we're trying to address the sound issues. We don't have the problem with the video.
As long as we're spending enough money to make it right,
yes.
As opposed to not quite right and saving $10,000.
Right.
Okay. Thanks. Is there any other questions? Any from the public? Hearing none, do I have a motion to approve item A and B? Huron? And just for clarity, Mayor Horn, you support, I mean, you really have the expertise to take a peek, and you're good with this.
Okay, the reason I had it sent to me is I have 27 years experience with doing audio and sound. I wanted to go through the pricing, make sure with the labor, make sure everything was correct, and it's actually pretty close. I think it's actually a little bit less because of the existing equipment that they'll be removing and taking with them.
Right? Okay, thank you for joining.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. Now we move on to administrative action decisions. And that is Brenda and Director Search for Proposal.
Yes, you're almost done. Yes, thank you so much, Policy Board members. At your direction, staff released a request for proposal in January, seeking professional executive search services to conduct a nationwide search for the replacement of Hosa Cog's executive director. Staff received 7 proposals from across the country by the deadline, which was February 1st. The RFP and the proposals were attached for review, so we could discuss those tonight if you so
Sam also created a matrix that was attached that included the required proposal requirements and the items of interest staff thought you might be interested in, like project costs, whether it includes consultant travel, candidate travel, placement guarantees were examples, things that were similar across these proposals. And so hopefully that is helping you as you evaluate each of these proposals. So tonight, staff is seeking direction from you on how you wish to proceed, whether you want to choose a firm tonight or direct us to go another direction with this process.
I have a comment, if I could. I do not think that 15 people could read 7 proposals and make a good call. So maybe we could put together a 3-person subcommittee to come back with a recommendation or 2, and then maybe we could interview them. I don't really want to spend the next 3 hours with 15 people going through. I really liked item number 3. So I just wonder if there's a way to narrow it down a little bit so we don't have to choose from 7. Just a thought.
So I think
so maybe we could put together a whatever the council says is the right number, 3 years, whatever the magic number is, to take a deeper dive, to spend some time. So would that would have to be a good way, right?
Well, I believe that the agendized item here is broad enough to discuss putting together a committee and bringing it back for later date. The magic number is going to be less than 4.
So I think it was just what, 8?
Eight.
That's my recommendation.
Having worked on a few of these before, 3 seems to work the best.
Yeah, it's been a year. Three. Yeah. So, okay. They're in favor. And the only thing I really will stop talking. Unless staff wants to do an initial screen in case 2 of them aren't for whatever reason don't meet some minimum standard. So if staff could do some evaluation and then bring forth 5 or whatever that is, or if this is the 7, this is the 7. But I would just whatever if that process can happen, another committee of 3, and we could interview the top 2 on the phone and bring it back to the board, or whatever that process is, but I think that would make sense. Staff would be happy to offer our insights and thoughts the proposals and the firms and the conditions of the proposals. Some of them are out of state and more expensive. It just depends on what your threshold is. But we wanted to remain as impartial as possible. So without you requesting anything from us, we don't want to offer up too much of our thoughts. But we would be happy to do that.
I got a solution. We just hire Robert and we're done.
So I would point out that this item is not agendized for hiring a permanent executive director.
He's kidding.
You want to pursue that.
Can we bring this back for the next meeting and have that option on there on the table as well?
Okay.
Because it doesn't give us that option. So
And for your information, the process for doing that would be to one of the processes for doing that would be to appoint a committee consisting of a non-quorum to agendize 2 closed sessions, 1 for performance evaluation, 1 for contract negotiations, and provide staff with language for that. And then to hold an open session on consideration of a contract. It sounds to me like the current proposal is to consider that course of action, not actually.
I don't want to be the only one in agreement with this. I want.
I like the idea of a subcommittee to make one to staff.
I think, with great respect to Robert, Robert's going to compete. That's the deal. And I think we've already visited the let's hire him. And I think we've decided to just at least for the due the diligence of looking. So I don't want to do it as a 2-step dance. Otherwise, then we've done all this for nothing. So I would like to make a motion that we appoint a subcommittee. I don't know, I'm going with 3 people after staff has made a pass at the seven, and then a subcommittee to evaluate those seven and proceed how they choose, if they want to interview top two or whatever, and then bring it back to the board for discussion. And then maybe we don't like any of them. I don't know, but we'll cross that bridge. So that's, I think that's the path we were on, and I don't want to, I for one, my motion is not to have an option to hire Robert, because then why am I going to do the other? That's weird.
Well, that's what I'm saying, that we could put the two options.
I'm not interested in doing that, but if you want to do that, you are the chair.
And I know, I'm just saying if that way, if the rest are, if there's more in favor to hire Robert, then
that should be the action. This is a charade. If we're going to do all this, then we're going to hire Manny. That's weird. So he either competes and we do that, or we hire him and we don't. So that's, I'm really undone. But that's my motion right now. If anybody wants a second, that's what I got.
Second. So any, all those in favor?
Aye.
Oh, sorry. Any public comment? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none. Motion carries.
And Robert has nothing to do with you.
No.
Not one thing.
No, I not that you've asked for my position, but I would much rather have regional consensus on this.
Yeah. Sure. Is it possible then to form that subcommittee tonight so staff can move forward? With.
I think you said you could do that.
Let me take a look at how it's agenda. I believe your board can establish a committee for scoring or otherwise weighing the options for the.
We have volunteers. I'm sorry?
I'd be willing to be on.
So, Raidley?
I was going to nominate Lynn, but also Mayor Robertson.
Robertson?
I would like to ask somebody from the West Side. Jim, you interested?
Okay, there you go.
Is that four or is that three?
I think that.
That's four. I'll step
two,
down.
So,
West Side.
Four, no, that's fine.
Nifty little gold leaf package